Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I am your host, L. Martin, on this October 26th, 2017, Thursday. Happy Thursday, Mid-Michigan, and wherever you may be listening to current sports at this moment. We've got a loaded show throughout the next 60 minutes that will recap last night's wild World Series Game 2. How fun was that, right? I mean, my goodness, the Houston Astros and the L.A. Dodgers going at it the way they did last night in a four-hour and some change affair that led to Houston tying this series up at one game apiece. A record 8 homers combined in the World Series, the most ever. That's a World Series record. 8 home runs combined from the Dodgers and the Astros. We will do our best to recap the wild action that took place out in L.A. last night. Also, tonight is the night, MSU men's basketball fans, where you get a bit of a preview of this year's Spartan Hoop squad as Tom Izzo's troops will play an exhibition match against Ferris State. So you'll get to see Miles Bridges and Josh Langford, Cassius Winston, Nick Ward, Lou Ross, Tum Nairn Jr. I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, this team is one of the favorites to go very deep in this year's NCAA tourney later on this season. So we'll preview that game. We'll also be giving away a pair of tickets to that game tonight. So keep it locked and find out how you can win. And we'll also talk some MSU women's basketball as we will invite to the show around the 1:30 mark Susie Merchant. MSU women's basketball coach Susie and her team last year won 21 games. They ended up going to the NCAA tournament. A great year, and now is going to be a year of transition because they are going to be missing a few pieces that led to great success last season. One of those pieces being the program's all-time leading scorer in Tori Jankowska. Don't miss that. And then after we chat with Susie, we will welcome to the show our dear friend Todd, formerly known as TJ Duckett. He's a former MSU and NFL running back great and founder of New World Flood, his philanthropic campaign. And speaking of philanthropy, he will talk about an endeavor that looks to raise funds for the American Cancer Society. Find out how you can get involved. We'll talk MSU football also with Todd, so don't miss that. And we'll throw it back to close out today's show, because each and every Thursday we like to hop into our current sports time machine and take a look at exactly what happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday. So as you see, our plate runneth over, a ton to get to. I'll stop wasting time. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team. You can catch the team tonight against Ferris State in the Breslin Center in an exhibition matchup. Tip-off slated for 7 p.m. The game will be streamed live on BTN Plus with Mike Monaco calling the play-by-play and Kevin Puaga serving as the color analyst. Now, the Spartan Sports Network radio call can be heard on one of 38 affiliates on the web at SpartanSportsNetwork.com. This is the first of three exhibitions that Michigan State will play. The Spartans will next play this Sunday against Georgia in a hurricane relief exhibition at Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Tip time for that game is set for 2 p.m. Got a chance to chat with Coach Izzo yesterday, and he noted that that game has already been sold out, and it's not televised, so you'll have to live vicariously through multiple media members following that game on social media, I guess, right? Also, MSU will close out its exhibition schedule on Friday, November 3rd, next week, hosting Hillsdale. That will be a 7 p.m. tip time. All right, in the final match of the regular season for the Michigan State women's soccer team, Northwestern spoiled Michigan State Senior Day late in the second half. 1-0 the final at DeMartin Stadium yesterday evening. The Spartans will end the year with an overall record of 6-11-1 and 2-8-1 in Big Ten Conference play. The Spartans send off a few seniors that I will acknowledge later on this hour because they've had some great careers, including one local player from right here in Mid-Michigan who balled out for the Okemos High School soccer program. So I'll tip my hat to them later on this hour. The Michigan State wrestling program will begin the 2017-18 year with its annual green and white wrestle-offs today at 6 p.m. in the IM West Sports Arena. Now, admission is free, and there will be giveaways and prizes for fans as well. The Spartans return 9 letter winners, including redshirt junior Austin Ecker, sophomore Drew Hughes, and redshirt senior Javier Gasca. All three competed in last year's NCAA championships and were ranked in the top 20 in the nation in the latest Flow Wrestling NCAA rankings. Hughes was ranked at number 9 at 174 pounds. Gasca was ranked at number 10 at 144, and Iker came in number 16 at 133. This marks the highest preseason rankings for the three. MSU will welcome 17 newcomers, 16 of which are freshmen, and one transfer from Lake Erie. The Detroit Lions made a flurry of moves yesterday afternoon, highlighted by the return of receiver Jace Billingsley. Billingsley was signed off the practice squad as Detroit prepares to face the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night without its best receiver. Golden Tate injured his shoulder 2 weeks ago against the New Orleans Saints and has since been seen in a sling. The NFL Network reports the injury is an AC joint issue and will cost him some game time. However, rumor has it that Tate did practice sometime this week, so maybe they're trying to throw Pittsburgh off. Who knows? Tate has started all 54 games since he signed with the Honolulu Blue back in 2014 and appeared in 85 straight games overall. He is Matthew Stafford's favorite target as well, with team highs in catches with 38, yards with 363, yards after catch 215, and first downs 17. How about that? All right. Tobias Harris was scorching hot. He had 34 points, and Andre Drummond quieted his critics with a 15-point-15 board game that saw him win a battle against Carl Anthony Towns last night against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Most importantly, the Pistons won handily, 122-101, even after falling behind 9-0 and looking really lifeless to start the game. It's kind of ironic that they lost the two losses that they had coming into this game happened, you know, in which at one of those losses they were down by 21 points. One of those games they were down 21 and then ended up still winning. But this time they win by 21 points. Now, Detroit was helped by a relentless Ish Smith, who had 13 assists, and Avery Bradley, who had a great all-around game. He chipped in 20 points. The Wolves really couldn't match Detroit's energy and hovered between a 15- and 25-point deficit for most of the night. Now, Towns had a quiet 23 points, 10 boards, while Andrew Wiggins and Jeff Teague added 21 and 18, respectively. 10 games into the season, the Tampa Bay Lightning are the most dominating team in the NHL, out to an 8-1-1 start with the league's number two scoring offense and a defense that ranks in the top five. On Thursday, today, they will try to improve to 6-0-0 at home for the first time in their history and do so against your Detroit Red Wings, a team at the opposite end of the spectrum. Detroit sits at 4-5-1 on the year, is 0-4-1 in its past five games, scoring only 9 goals in that span. All right, the World Series Game 2. How fun was that night last night? Wednesday was most definitely not just another night at the old ball yard. The festivities of Game 2 of the World Series started off pretty legendary, with Vin Scully inviting Fernando Valenzuela to throw out the first pitch and end with Chris Devinsky striking out Yasiel Puig in a 9-pitch battle to give the Houston Astros a 7-6 win over the LA Dodgers, a game that went over 4 hours, 11 innings. The rest of the game was really completely insane, and I'm going to do my best to recap it in just a moment. Stay tuned. And shocking news out of the camp of the New York Yankees. Joe Girardi will not be back next season as the manager of the Yankees. The team made that announcement today. Now, Girardi, he just completed the final season of a 4-year, $16 million contract. And sources told ESPN's Buster Olney that Yankees manager, I should say general manager, Brian Cashman, recommended to owner Hal Steinbrenner that the team change managers. I really don't understand that. I mean, you look at what Girardi has done throughout his time as manager of the Yankees. Puzzling, right? Now, in an email to local media outlets, Girardi said, quote, "With a heavy heart, I come to you because the Yankees have decided not to bring me back," end quote. He went on to thank the Steinbrenner family and also Cashman. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the fun. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, where we have the live stream up and running. And you can join us via Twitter at my Twitter handle, at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's keep this train a-moving.
Center field, back at the wall, it is gone. Tie game in the ninth. Marwin Gonzalez Here's one into left center field off the bat of Correa. Altuve and Correa go back to back. And it's 5-3 here in the 10th inning with Houston on top. Altuve his sixth. Correa his fourth of this postseason. Puig hits one a ton to left. It's a one-run game. His second of the postseason. And it's 5-4.
This time, hitters count, and he didn't miss it. Matter of fact, when he hit it, he gently set the bat down.
The starter, Justin Verlander, came out of the clubhouse, that long walk down to the edge of the dugout, and was yelling at his teammates that this isn't over.
Bottom of the 11th inning. Springer, he is 2-for-4 tonight with a double and a single. And Springer drives one pretty deep to right center field. On the run is Hernandez, looking up, and that ball is gone! A two-run home run for George Springer, and the Astros are back on top. It's 7-5. Springer with his second home run of the postseason, the first in the World Series.
And that is how we start this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. What a game! You know, I need some coffee desperately right now because I'm still a bit tired after staying up until after midnight, well after midnight, watching that incredible Game 2 of the World Series between the L.A. Dodgers and the Houston Astros. What a game! How fun was that? And you know, when I saw the the introduction of the great Vin Scully, which was pretty awesome, pretty legendary, as Vin came out, and it looked like Vin was going to throw out the first pitch of last night's game too. But you see Vin, he grabs the mic and he kind of narrates his way, you know, from the side of the field onto the hill. And then he introduces Fernando Valenzuela. And, you know, he comes out. And he, by the way, Fernando looks great, right? Fernando came out and threw out that pitch. I said, nothing can top this moment tonight. The game cannot top this moment. It is absolutely impossible. And then we watched one of the greatest World Series games of here, due to multiple factors. I think that right now, guys, you know, a perfect example is a player who I'm a huge fan of, Aaron Judge. I think it's, you know, I think the player's mentality now is to swing hard, take your strikeouts, but swing hard and try to hit homers. That's the mentality of a lot of players now. But 8 home runs last night, and it was filled with a lot of drama, a lot of emotions up and down, and the final call you heard just then, you know, a Springer dinger. How about that? As George Springer puts the babies to bed, the top of the 11th. Wow. It was just amazing. Just amazing. Springer's home run happened to be the game winner. You know, and Springer, I mean, he was coming off a 3-for-30 hitting streak that had seen the Astros' usually fantastic leadoff batter just really riddled in struggles for most of the ALCS in game one. And, you know, that moment also came after you heard the call from Joe Buck. And shout out to John Smoltz as well. The local product here, Baseball Hall of Famer, John Smoltz does an excellent job at breaking down baseball games, doesn't he? He is just fantastic, you know, behind the mic. John Smoltz, shout out to Smoltzy, man. He's I love listening to him because I feel like I learn so much, you know, every time, you know, he's rocking the mic alongside Joe. He kind of reminds me of my guy Tony Romo. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen Tony Romo in the NFL alongside Jim Nance, but Tony Romo is really good as a color analyst for CBS. Fantastic. But anyway, you know, you heard Joe Buck also in that introduction montage You know, talk about Justin Verlander. There was a moment where the camera panned to the dugout of the Houston Astros, and it looked like JV had already taken off his uniform, and he just gets so angry. And it looked like JV, you know, he left the clubhouse, went back to the dugout, and just lit a fire under the you-know-what of his teammates. And really just urging them to get more runs on the board and win this game. And it looked like it worked. It worked. They heard you, JV. JV looked heated. I really hope that that Cade Upton calmed him down after that game. Well, I'm pretty sure getting the win calmed him down anyway. But my goodness. Game two. I don't know how you top that. I really don't. So much drama. And right now, I want to invite to the show, filling in for our usual engineer, Isaac Constance. Isaac is out today and tomorrow. He'll be back at it on Monday. But filling in is one of our fantastic production assistants, reporters, and interns, Jacob Herbert, who's holding it down behind the glass. Jacob, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I'm just here to clean up Isaac's mess. He decided to, you know, take a trip, but, you know.
Yeah, but we love seeing you.
I know. And I'm glad to be back.
I have to ask, because we chatted real briefly during the introduction, listening to, you know, just snippets of that game last night. I mean, you saw that game, too. I mean, how do you put in perspective how wild that game was? And what are your takeaways from last night, man?
That game last night was, in my mind, the epitome of why the MLB playoffs are the best playoffs in sports. I mean, just the emotion, the back and forth, the, you know, Houston goes up, and obviously I'm kind of pulling for the Astros because I want Justin Verlander to get a ring. Right. I think he deserves it more than any player in baseball right now.
And he's a former Tiger.
And he's a former Tiger.
Speaking of former Tigers, Cameron Maben. Are you going to Taco Bell?
Oh, I'm going to get a free taco.
You're getting a free taco. Cameron Maben had a steal last night, and you know, they did the same thing last year. I know if a player gets a steal, steals a base, then America gets a free taco from Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. So a free Doritos Locos Taco. So with Cameron having his amazing steal last night, he's pretty good at that, by the way. Now America has a free taco today, so very cool. So you're rooting for JV, but yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm pulling for the Astros. So it was nice to see, you know, them finally pull it out. But I was so invested in this game, and I'm not from Houston. I don't have any affiliation with LA or. But I'm sitting on my couch screaming, not throwing things, but like, you know, just the like raw emotion that, you know, you experience. And like I just said, I'm not affiliated with either of these cities, but mm-hmm. you still find yourself immersed in this game. It was a great game.
Yeah, what an atmosphere, and what an atmosphere out in LA as well. I saw that there was like a helicopter shot from one of the local television affiliates down there, and they have a shot. I don't know if you've seen this, Jacob, but there's a shot of this helicopter hovering around Dodger Stadium right after the game, and it's showing traffic in L.A., and the traffic is unlike anything I've ever seen. And also, I don't know if you guys saw this either, but there was a fire near Dodger Stadium. I want to say, you know, maybe 20 miles away from the stadium, something like
really?
That. And they showed that as well. There was like a fire on the left side of the screen going on. I guess it wasn't a threat to anybody in the area. It was further down, so, you know, they didn't have to evacuate any fans or anything like that. Game two could proceed safely. But you could see the fire going on, and then you saw down the street the game taking place. And I know the entire state of California right now is really going through it, as you know. I believe the fires are under control now, but you know, there was a moment a few weeks ago where it was really, really bad. A lot of communities and homes have been destroyed. So thoughts and prayers out to California. But a great night, baseball. You know, and it was quite the contrast to game one, because you know, game one was one of the fastest games in World Series history. It went a little over 2 hours, 2 hours and 28 minutes to be exact. It was the fastest World Series game since 1992, as I highlighted on yesterday's show. And, of course, the Dodgers pulled that game out. But, you know, and I brought up the stat on yesterday's show. Game one winners have won 12 of the last 14, 17 of the last 20. But you better believe that Houston right now is not going to lay down. Winning game two was huge. And now we'll see where this series goes. I'm still going with LA to win this thing. I gave my thoughts and predictions on it yesterday, Jacob. I'm going with the Dodgers in six. Isaac chose the Dodgers in seven. Who you got?
I will take, you know what, I'm going to go seven. I'll say Houston in seven.
Houston in seven. I know you're rooting for Houston.
Six seems to be the popular pick, so I gotta switch it up.
There you go. I hope it goes seven. If we get this every single game.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Go seven,
man.
That's
the thing. I want it to go as long as possible.
Please do. And I'm a big fan of the television show Empire. I totally forgot, you know, Wednesdays I usually sit and watch Empire, but I forgot that airs on Fox, and they're not returning until after the World Series. I'm like, look, Terrence Howard and Taraji P. Henson, I can wait on you guys, all right? I want to watch this. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I see a few of you chiming in also via Facebook.com/CurrentSports. Ben Grimes says, go Astros. He's got Houston in six games. And he also was chiming in on the Pistons, who won last night. How about the Pistons? 122-101 last night to move to 3-2. On the NBA year, the young NBA year. So thanks, Ben, for weighing in. I really briefly want to transition into MSU football as well as basketball. You know, I really wanted to bring up Mark D'Antonio's team on yesterday's show. We just got so busy, with callers, and, you know, we had just a really stacked show. But, you know, again, Michigan State men's basketball will play tonight, exhibition play against Ferris State. I want to remind you all that we will have a current sports two-minute drill report later on this evening from the Breslin as Tom Izzo, again, starts the unofficial basketball year, seeing as though this is an exhibition. This will not count toward the win and loss column. Just kind of a warm-up, a tune-up before the year starts. And a big weekend for the Michigan State football team as they will they will be on the road out in Evanston, Illinois to take on the Northwestern Wildcats. And, you know, I've been harping on, and again, everybody can see, you know, right now why this Michigan State football team is struggling. The offense, the offense, the offense. The defense has been fantastic. They have been a pleasant surprise. Special teams has been very impressive. But the offense right now has not been great. And now you play a Northwestern team that's on a two-game win streak with wins over Maryland and Iowa. And now, you know, Michigan State, after they play Northwestern, they will really be thrown into the fire, thrown into the gauntlet, and play Penn State. We'll play Penn State at Spartan Stadium. And then we'll hit the road to head to Columbus, Ohio, to play Ohio State. So when it comes to this matchup between Northwestern and Michigan State is looking for revenge from what happened from last year. They're on a revenge tour right now because, you know, they went 3-9. They lost to nine teams last year. So they've got nine teams on that list still, the Wildcats being one of them, as the Wildcats won 54-40. But how do you solve the offensive problems for the Michigan State football team? That's my question to our listeners. What have you seen from the offense that has yielded this offense to sit near the bottom of the Big Ten Conference when it comes to efficiency? Right now, the Spartans are number one in the conference in total defense, but they're 12th in scoring, 9th in passing. Brian Lewerke has thrown for 185 yards or less in three straight games. He has failed to surpass 120 yards in two of those contests. Lewerke also did not post a completion percentage better than 55% in any of those games. Michigan State's offense did not sniff the red zone until 6 minutes left in Saturday's contest against Indiana. But that defense held it down and kept Michigan State in the game. And, you know, I think this kind of puts things in perspective. When I was on Twitter, Jacob, gotta love Twitter, right? But I saw Brian Lewerke tweet out after the Spartan win on Saturday. He tweeted out, quote, "Thank you to Spartan Nation for sticking around until the end. Not the prettiest, but we got it done."
I hope he wasn't talking to the student section.
I hope he is. I think that's a little jab at the student section, which, by the way, has been horrible.
Not great. I mean,
what is up with the students, dude? I mean,
I don't know. I was at the game. Like, I have no idea. It was a 3:30.
This has been going on for a while now, where the student section, you know, after the third quarter, they're like, all right, I'm chucking up the deuces, and I guess they're going to turn up at Rick's or Harper's or Dublin.
But it's
somewhere.
Not even that. I mean, it's just they're not filling it to start the game.
Exactly.
And
I don't get it.
Last weekend, it was against, it was Indiana. It was homecoming. It was a 3:30 kick, so it's not like you had to wake up at 7 a.m. to start tailgating like some kid, you know, like some students do.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm in bed, but.
I'm sure.
I don't know. I'm sitting up there in the press box trying to rack my brain. I don't know why they're not. Yeah, absolutely.
But this isn't new. This has been going on, you know, when I was a student at Michigan State as well. I mean, I graduated in May of 2012, and they had a problem back then. You know, even with the immense success that Coach D'Antonio was having and starting to have. I mean, we're talking about Rose Bowl appearances and going to the college football playoff and students just not showing up in the student section. So I think with this tweet, it was a jab to the student section, but also praising those who did stay in it, you know, for that game, but also acknowledging that this offense, they got to get some things right if they want to come out of this next three-game stretch with a winning record. I'll address the offense later on. Again, we're taking your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team. That's right, you know her. Susie Merchant. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and now we're going to talk Michigan State women's basketball. They are a team that last year went 21-12, advancing to the NCAA tournament for the eighth time in the last nine seasons. The Spartans will bring back four starters from last season's squad in Brandi Agee, Taya Reimer, Taryn McCutcheon, and redshirt sophomore Victoria Gaines. And speaking of Brandi Agee, she was named to the preseason All-Big Ten team by the coaches. Michigan State will open up action on Sunday, November 5th, in their only exhibition of the year against Lake Superior State. And to talk about that matchup and to preview this upcoming year for the MSU women's basketball team, we now welcome head coach of the MSU women's hoop squad, Susie Merchant. Susie, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Always good chatting with you, Sue. So, first off, what's the preparation been like? I mean, you got to be so excited to rev up another year again. Sunday, November 5th, first exhibition of the season. What are the emotions like for you?
Well, you know, every year it's just so fun to start a journey with a new group, you know, a new dynamic. And, you know, last year's team, we had some new faces, obviously, and this year we have a very veteran group, which is fun. Just as a coach, I think you have to kind of look at what you have, like even the Met, you know, they went through some struggles last year. They were very young and they had some injuries, and you just kind of morph into a team you're going to be eventually, you know, and this is the fun part. And actually, we have a scrimmage at Toledo on Sunday. So,
oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. We can do either two exhibitions, or you can do a scrimmage per NCAA rules, kind of a closed one. You're not allowed to have fans or anything like that. But I kind of like that way because you can play Division I team and sort of see what you're, you know, what you're up against. And so we'll be down at Toledo on Sunday. I know the Michigan men actually are going to scrimmage the Toledo men before us as well. So it'll be fun. It'll be a great day. Just a good test to kind of see where we're at.
So, Susie, what do you look for? I mean, what do you try to get out of these exhibition contests? Because I know, you know, in the back of your mind, knock on wood, you know, you don't want to have anybody injured. So you kind of have to monitor everybody's minutes. What are you looking for out of these exhibition matchups, again, on Sunday against Toledo, as well as November 5th against Lake Superior State?
Well, I mean, a few things. I mean, I certainly think, you know, who's a gamer, right? I mean, you know this. You've been around a long time, and it's silly to say, but, you know, I've had kids that were great practice players. The lights came on, they got a little nervous, you know? And right. So you got to kind of figure that out as a coach. Our depth, different. I got kids that are, you know, this year's team's very versatile, and we're very big, so, you know, how I can use that to our advantage. So I'll definitely try to do different combinations, that kind of thing. You know, certainly we'll do some, you know, when we go to Toledo, we can kind of set some things up. We'll play a full-on scrimmage with refs and everything, and then we'll do some special situations. We'll do some pressure stuff. We'll do some baseline out-of-bounds series, you know, things you can really work on, zone segments and things like that. With Lake State, it's just like a real game. You know, so it'll be fun. I'm really, really looking forward to this year's team. I think we have a talented group, but you still got to come together and work, you know.
And you talk about being a gamer. Susie, I think we both agree that Brandi Agee is that. I mean, again, she's been named to the preseason All-Big Ten team by the coaches from the conference. I feel like we haven't seen the best of Brandi Agee just yet. How much better can she get, you think, Suze?
Well, I mean, it's been interesting here at Michigan State the last few years because, you know, we had Ariel Powers.
Right.
Who I don't think people really realized how good Tori was until Ariel graduated. You know, then Tori stepped up, and I kind of think we're in this mode that I don't think people realize how good Brandi is until Tori graduated. Because, I mean, Tori and Ariel were very dominating players. You know, Ariel, kind of, it was just a little bit of a hierarchy. I mean, they all contributed, and all three of them were great players. But there's only one ball to go around. You know what I mean? So
right.
It's like even the Golden State Warriors only had two Splash Brothers, you know, not three.
I like how you put that, Suze. That's very true. Very true.
Yes, very true. Now, I don't know. Things might be a little bit different with Durant
KD
there now.
Right.
But at that point, you know, so it's just, you know, it's really just about Brandi getting an opportunity, I think, to just kind of do what she can do and sort of be a go-to person. And that's a different role than she's played the last few years.
You know, Susie, one of my big takeaways from Media Day on Monday was that, you know, I was talking to a few of the players, and they were very honest when it came to how they feel about being, quote unquote, slighted in the preseason rankings and how they're going to use that as motivation. Because, you know, I talked to being a reporter, you know, talking to different teams, you'll ask them about the preseason rankings, and they'll kind of brush it off like, oh, we don't care what they say. You know, we're going to take it one game at a time and just, you know, every win counts one, that kind of thing. But they were not shy in addressing how they felt about the preseason rankings. I'm curious, is that something you've talked to your team about?
Well, I'm not a big poll person because I think, and this is going to sound terrible, but I believe this to be true a lot of times. On the women's side, especially when it comes, you know, people don't always see all the teams play, so they don't really know what they're voting for.
Right.
But I have to say, I was surprised. I was kind of shocked when I saw it, too. And I've been doing this for a long time, and it's the first time I've actually ever been a little bit, I guess, a little disappointed and surprised and felt like we're better than that. I mean, we have four starters back, but you know, I think on the women's game, sometimes when you lose a prolific scorer like a Tori or an Ariel, you know, people just don't think the other kids are as good, you know, to be honest. And we are. I mean, we had Shea Colley sitting out. We signed a McDonald's All-American. We have four starters coming back. Drake's healthy. We're in better shape. You know, I feel like we're deeper. I mean, it is what it is, and I always tell players, you know, you got to use that as motivation. And I think some of the frustration would be because, you know, we went 3-1 against the teams that were voted in the top three, you know, and we went to the NCAA tournament. One of those teams never even went to the NCAA tournament. So, they kind of look at it like that, to be honest, Al. But I mean, at the end of the day, I told them, then use it as fuel, and we got to, you know, we got to go to work, you know. You got to prove it. So sometimes having to prove something, play with a chip on your shoulder, is a better place to play.
I love that message, Suze. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team, Susie Merchant. Susie, before we get you out of here, can you give us a player or two that you feel like fans are really going to be pleasantly surprised by? Maybe a player not getting a lot of preseason hype. Maybe a name they've never heard of. Who do you think Spartan fans out there are going to really be surprised by this season?
Well, I think Shay Colley is number one. That's the kid that sat out last year, transferred from South Carolina. Our fans are going to love her. She's athletic. She's strong. She's fast. She can score a lot of different ways. Very unselfish player. Really, really good kid. Multi-dimensional. Can play a point guard and a two spot. I think Lexi's had a really good offseason. And everybody loves Lexi for her personality and the leadership. But, I mean, I think this she's in a position now where she really wants to kind of put her stamp on her last year. You know, and kids in those positions, I think, are pretty fun to watch. And she's had a great preseason. And then I would definitely talk about Taya, you know. Mm-hmm. I think Taya is someone that was a little underrated last year, but that was, you know, she wasn't in the best condition. She had an injury at Notre Dame before she transferred, so she really wasn't herself. So I think she's in much better shape. And then you got to talk about Sydney Cooks, too. You know, McDonald's All-American, Jordan Brand Classic kid, top five kid in the country, 6'4", face-up four man, can do some, you know, really, really shoot it. Really shoot it. So mm-hmm. it's going to be a fun group to be part of. But those are kids that kind of stick out beyond Brandy. And then you have the ever solid, hardworking Taryn McCutcheons and people like that, which you love too.
And you know, Susie, one final question here, because I you know, after media day, I didn't get a chance to hear your presser, but I, you know, I was talking to Fred Heumann, and Fred aired a piece on the 6 o'clock news on WLNS later that evening. And it was you kind of opening up about the scary moment that occurred on New Year's Day of this year, where you collapsed on the sideline and everybody in Spartan Nation was really worried about you. But you look healthy. You look great. Especially, I saw you busting a move at MSU Madness last week. you look good, Suze, I must say. But you know, it kind of put things in perspective, I know, for you as a head coach. You play so many different roles. I mean, you being a mother, and not only a mother to your children, but a mother to your players as well, and the intense schedule and the travel schedule of being a Division I women's basketball coach. What have you done to, you know, kind of put your health on the forefront of that, though?
Well, I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to put myself on the list a little bit. I'll be honest. I think, like you mentioned, all those roles, sometimes you don't have a lot of time for yourself. But, you know, I've committed to and tried to stay as motivated as I can and, like, get my workouts in so I stay healthy and strong that way. And, you know, just eating right and making sure that, you know, I take a break when I can, you know, not very often. But, like, if it's an off day, like, you know, I practice today. So I'm just able to kind of, you know, do what I need to from a recruiting standpoint and from a, you know, film standpoint. But I think, you know, last year, too, they changed some rules on the recruiting side that I think helped head coaches. You know, we don't have the home visits in the fall anymore in the contact period. We couldn't talk to the 19s last year. We could. So I was out for 21 straight days and I was doing 2 and 3 visits a day all over the place. So that's gone for that. That didn't happen this fall. So I feel a lot fresher right now going into October than I ever have in recent years. So I feel good about it. And I just really appreciate you asking and about it and all the fans. And as you know, we're kind of public figures and whatnot. And I don't have anything to hide. I mean, my thing is if I can help somebody, it happened to me, you know, I'm willing to put it out there. So, but I feel really, really good and really appreciate you asking about it.
Definitely. Well, I tell you what, Suze, we are rooting for you and looking forward to a healthy and fruitful year for you and the Michigan State women's basketball team. Susie, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. I'll see you soon, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Okay. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will chat with Todd TJ, formerly known as TJ Duckett, former MSU and NFL running back great, founder of the New World Flood philanthropic endeavor, and he'll tell us about a philanthropic endeavor in which you can get involved with fighting cancer. Love it. We'll talk with Todd in just a moment. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports.
I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Susie Merchant, head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team. How awesome is she? I tell you, covering Susie and the Spartan women's hoop team is one of my favorite beats to be on because they are just so likable. And one thing I didn't get a chance to hit on with Susie that I think really makes this year's team special, and this is something that was reiterated at Media Day on Monday as well, during Susie's presser and in just talking with her respective players, is that they have so much chemistry. I mean, they genuinely love being around each other. They're all friends, not just on the court but off of it as well. And you can see that chemistry. I mean, heck, we have Taya Reimer, a part of the current sports reporting team as a reporter and PA for this semester. And, you know, I talk to Taya all the time about, you know, just how close this team is. And you see it on Taya's social media as well. You know, she's always hanging out with her players. It's one of the biggest reasons why Taya decided to transfer from Notre Dame to Michigan State, just because of the atmosphere, the family atmosphere. But, you know, I think this team, you know, throughout my time, you know, the last 5 or 6 years covering this squad, I tell you, this may be the closest group of Michigan State women's basketball players that I've been around and seen. All right, folks, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is how you can call in to be a part of the program. I see many of you weighing in via social media as well at facebook.com/currentsports. I see Jalen weighs in and says, you know, I say trap because if they lose this game, he's talking about MSU football losing to possibly Northwestern. If they lose this game, it will trap them from being in the Big East championship game. It goes through PSU, OSU, and MSU unless we lose Saturday and put ourselves out of that race. And I have to totally agree with Jalen. I think right now Michigan State has to handle business. They have to hit, go on the road and play a Northwestern team that right now is surging and trending upward, a Northwestern team that has won 2 straight games, one of those games against an Iowa team that came within just one play of knocking off the Penn State Nittany Lions. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about that. I always think about that, too. I mean, this Northwestern team is going to come and bring it. Justin Jackson could be a handful on Saturday. But Michigan State has to win this game if they want to be in that conversation of possibly being the spoiler of the Big Ten football year and booking a trip to Indy, possibly. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting this weekend. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, I want to invite to the show our final guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Todd Duckett, former MSU and NFL running back great and founder of New World Flood. And he's on line one right now to talk about a really cool philanthropic endeavor that, you know, it really raises great funds for the American Cancer Society. It's the Real Men Wear Pink campaign. To talk about that and more, Todd Duckett, welcome to the show. Todd, how you doing, my man?
What up? How you doing, Al, man? Thanks for having me.
It's always good chatting with you. Todd, come on now, brother. So first off, tell our listeners about, you know, because you hit me up yesterday, you know, about raising funds for this campaign. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and how our listeners can get involved?
Yes, it's the Real Men Wear Pink campaign of Lansing, and there's about 11, 12 of us men around the city who we volunteered to raise $2,500 and wear pink the whole month of October every day and help bring awareness, help raise funds for the American Cancer Society. And it's for me, my mother passed from cancer. I've had many people in my family, many friends. So it's something that affects us every single day. And it was great because even though I already remember my mother and remember my loved ones, every single day me wearing pink and having to find something to wear or create it kind of reminds me of the struggle that every day they deal with this. This is something that you just can't take off and put on another time. They wake up with it. They're fighting it. And now it's let's hope for some better cures and some support.
That is so true, Todd. And I think, you know, just about everybody now, you know, has either, you know, they know somebody who's battled cancer or sadly passed away from it, or they themselves have battled through the disease. So I think we've all been touched in some way, shape, or form by, you know, this heinous thing that we do call cancer. So, Todd, how close are you guys to your end of month goal right now?
Yeah, we're about a little under $1,700 away. My screen printing company, The Printing King, we've been selling T-shirts and hoodies online. There's been some amazing community volunteers and support that have donated. I mean, it's a thing. And I mean, it's not about how many push-ups a person can do or how fast they can run. This literally is a team effort, and we all need to help support. And I mean, it's amazing because even the group of guys that are on there, it's a great list. And if they're people that are caring, they're men that are giving up their month. And like I said, it's something that has hit everyone in the heart.
And how did you get involved with this, Todd? Is this your first year doing this?
Yeah, this is my first year doing it. I mean, I've always seen things on the peripheral, you know. I mean, you see the No Shave November, but I love my beer, you know, things like that.
right.
But this, I mean, again, like I said, when I was brought up with the idea, and I mean, I grow my beard to raise cancer awareness, but that's like, it's on my face, and I grow it for months. But to actually have to find something to wear every single day. Mm-hmm. And then you just, again, relate that to the struggle, relate that to what your loved one's going through. And I mean, that to me, just doing it. And my mother passed my freshman year at Michigan State. So it's been almost 17 years ago. And this brought a whole new feeling to what she was going through, a whole new awareness of what this process means. And I mean, you don't want to ever, because it's getting more and more common, you don't want to dilute the fact that it hurts. I mean, it's tough, and it really changes lives.
It certainly does. And speaking of changing lives, I mean, how can our listeners be a part of changing lives by helping you and the American Cancer Society in this endeavor, Todd? How can our folks get involved?
Without a doubt. If you can go to the makingstrides.org/realmenlansingmi, that's the website that you could go. My Facebook page, Todd J. Duckett. There's a link there, but www.makingstrideswalk.org/realmenlansingmi.
Great.
You got it, Todd.
Right? And I tell you what, we'll be sure to put this on our Facebook pages as well,
yes,
as well as tweet it out. And Todd, before I get you out of here, we got about, 3 minutes left here in the show. But I want to get your thoughts, of course, on MSU football.
Yes.
Spartan Nation is back. I mean, I tell you what, Spartan fans right now are so spoiled, Todd, because you got, you know, an MSU men's basketball team that's ranked in the top two right now, you know, according to whatever poll you follow. Then you look at MSU football sitting at 6-1 already, just 7 games into the year. You got a nationally ranked volleyball team, a nationally ranked MSU men's soccer team.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling looks like they're going to come in pretty hot as well. We just had Susie Merchant on for MSU women's basketball. They're poised to have a great year. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches right now. But when it comes to MSU football, I mean, did you ever think we'll be chatting right here on October 26th talking about a 6-1 season?
Man, that hard work pays off. The hard work, the blood, sweat, and tears, and players buying into the tradition, the culture. And, I mean, you hope it every single season. You hope the team goes undefeated. You hope some things are exceptional. But at this stage in the season, with the team being so young, playing the way they are, I mean, you're right, man. This is exciting. And this
right.
next week's game coming up, I mean, this is the biggest game of the season, in my opinion. I mean, this is the game that is going to dictate where we go from here, how our energy goes. So I think we're ready. I think we can do it. I think the young kids, they're learning each game how to play at a prime time level, how to pick up your energy when in must-win games and how to take that next step and to learn how to be a champion. So, yeah, I love it. Love it.
And Ty, final thought here. You know, I talked with Cedric Ervin on Jack Ebling's show yesterday, and I asked Cedric his thoughts on how Mark D'Antonio handled the LJ Scott situation, getting arrested for having an invalid license, the seventh time he's been, you know, caught with you know, a license problem behind the wheel. Mark D'Antonio only sent him out one series, and he caught some criticism from people on social media, including college basketball analyst Dan Dockage. I won't go down that rabbit hole right now, but did you feel like Mark D'Antonio let LJ off easy, or did you agree with his decision?
You know, I don't know all the ins and the outs of what happened. I don't know. I mean, it's a lot. But, you know, I don't know. And to make a decision from the outside isn't just on both parts. So I'm going to let them keep handling their business as they are.
Right.
And whatever they're doing, I do trust that Coach D'Antonio does his discipline or take his action for the best that is for that young man and for the greater good of the whole team. I trust that. Again, I'm not in there every day. I don't know. But that's something that I trust that he does. So however he or we deem it be super consequential or a slap on the wrist, that's not me or us. That's what in-house Michigan State coaches in football, that's how they handle their business. So, you know, whatever it takes for them to make sure them young men understand the message and things that shouldn't continue to happen don't.
Preach on. Great answer. Ty Duckett, former MSU and NFL running back, great and founder of New World Flood. Again, get involved with the Real Men Wear Pink campaign, which raises funds for the American Cancer Society. Ty, thank you so much, man.
Couple more days left. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Al.
You got it, man. Always good hearing from you. We'll be in touch, dude. I'll shoot you a text, man. I got you.
Yes, sir. Later, bro.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all she wrote. I can't believe it's about to be Friday already. Folks, we'll be back at it same time, same place on tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll have a lot of high school football talk on tomorrow's show because it is week one of local high school football playoff action. We have 21 teams competing. Oh, boy, it's going to be a fun show tomorrow. Tune in, folks. Be easy, people.